Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And in studio, I have two of my dear friends, Brian Rohrbaugh and Leslie Hanks. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Bob, for having me.
You're welcome. And I said guys. Is that okay, Leslie?
That's all right.
That's okay?
I have a man's name. So.
Leslie?
I did get a draft notice.
Oh, you did? Really? Okay. All right. So now, Leslie and Brian, I thought what we can do is talk about stories that have been in the news that point so directly to the issues that we talk about all the time, life and death, right and wrong, God's principles of justice. So what's been in the news? In Colorado, we have the Aurora case.
Right. We've got a grandmother who was watching her granddaughter and decided to murder a precious little child.
Mm. So devastating. In California,
we have a mother who pre-warned people she was going to do this. She dropped her three kids into San Francisco Bay and murdered them.
And then, so that's in America. In Europe?
Paris and France are burning, and it appears that we actually have a war having begun, and it seems like American media has just sort of overlooked that.
Yeah, and I have a couple minor quotes out of Newsweek, the current issue of Newsweek, November 14th. And in this little article, it's almost like they're giving justification to the rioters.
Well, they're disaffected, Bob.
They are, yeah. So we'll talk about these things and how this kind of suffering and lawlessness, the pain that it brings to so many people, how it could likely be avoided if our government, if governments around the world did the right thing and at least knew right from wrong. So why don't we start with Aurora and that crime? Just so devastating, but it's not unique. Is it unique that a relative, a mother, grandmother would kill her children?
Well, not at all. In fact, a few years ago, I got a letter from Susan Smith's mother-in-law talking about the devastation to that family from Susan Smith murdering these two precious children.
Now, that devastating story, that was where this woman was having an affair and her boyfriend told her he wasn't ready to be a parent because she had two little kids. And so she was going to solve that problem by killing her two kids. How did she kill those children?
She strapped them in their car seats in the car and she drove the car without her in it into a lake. And then she stood there and watched as the car disappeared and the children drowned. And then she went to the police and said, someone's kidnapped my kids.
Yeah, some black guy, she said, in fact.
Yeah. And so, you know, she murdered the kids, wanted to blame someone else, even make it a racial issue, and all of this for some guy who said he wasn't ready for a family.
Yeah, right. And she was married, or right, her husband, it was falling apart, the marriage.
Right, and they may have been separated, but it wouldn't matter if they were divorced.
Right, none of that.
One of the things I learned from the letter is
– so the grandmother sent you a letter, Brian?
Yes, and the father loved and wanted those children. So there's no justification for this, but unfortunately, there's too many people who are liberal who want to make excuses for murderers. And most, if not all of this, stems from the bloodlust in this country to kill innocent children. So if you can kill a baby in the womb when they should be the most protected at any time in their life, then why not at age, you know, 1 month or 1 year or 7 years? And if it's about convenience, you know, Susan Smith took it to the logical conclusion. But what about Klebold and Harris? You know, my son was murdered by them, and in their videotapes, they talked about why they had a right to do this. You know, they talked about evolution, how the strong have the right to kill the weaker. Mm-hmm. And they talked about how they, you know, had the choice to make up for themselves what is right and wrong.
Now, Harris had a T-shirt on, we learned from the cover of the Denver Post after the autopsy, and it had a phrase on it. Do you remember the phrase on his T-shirt?
Natural selection.
Natural selection. And they actually had the nerve to say, we don't know where that phrase comes from, what it refers to.
Right.
And on the front page of the paper. And,
right. And natural selection, of course, Klebold and Harris took to the logical conclusion.
Yeah.
But let's go further.
The stronger could kill the weaker.
Right. What about our Republican Supreme Court? Mm. They adhere to this. They say it's a mother's right to murder mm-hmm. her unborn baby. Mm-hmm. It's very much the same thing.
You called it a Republican Supreme Court.
Yes, it's a Republican Supreme Court appointed by Republican presidents.
Because 7 of the 9 justices are from Republican administrations.
That's right. And all it takes is a majority to do the right thing. But they are not interested in right and wrong. They're interested in precedent. Hmm. And so they don't care about right and wrong. That's not a consideration when they make a ruling.
Yeah, and Samuel Alito has done the same thing. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we also have here Leslie Hanks, who's vice president of Colorado Right to Life. Leslie, what an honor to have you in studio.
Oh, what an honor to be here.
Well, Brian said that because we kill babies in the womb, it's a natural consequence that people will devalue babies out of the womb. Is that logical? Is that true?
I believe it is, and we had the honor of having Brian stand with us side by side at the state capitol when we had a press conference, a few years back. And after Columbine, we had put out a letter to the state legislature saying that we shouldn't be surprised because mm-hmm. we've taught a couple of generations of kids it's okay to kill for convenience. Mm-hmm. And it caused quite an uproar when we sent that. How dare we try to glom on to this tragic situation,
right.
And the Democrats were really posturing. But Brian stood with us a year or so after that and agreed. He said, mm-hmm. absolutely, that's what happens. And unfortunately, the Rocky Mountain News and the Post, who shot a whole roll of film and listened attentively, never did anything with mm-hmm. the information from our press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
And it wasn't that I just stood with you after that. That's been my position since the very beginning. In fact, I spoke about how abortion is relative to the murders at Columbine and all the other schools, because we have taught kids you're effectively worthless. And
right.
when you're a baby, your parents can kill you, and therefore, as you get older, you have the right to kill others.
Right. And that's clearly what's happening. In fact, Surgeon General, a former Surgeon General, C. Everett Koop, warned America that if we legalize – Leslie, I don't know if you remember this quote – that if we legalize – abortion, the killing of children in the womb, C. Everett Koop said that infanticide would increase because people will connect these issues, that it's a baby. Either way, you kill the baby in the womb, then some people will, and now we see it in virtual epidemic numbers, they'll kill babies after they're born.
Well, and what about Peter Singer, I believe, is a Princeton so-called ethicist, and he promotes that. He says there should certainly be circumstances where it's okay to kill a baby after it's born.
Yeah, and we sell a video, DVD, VHS videotape, where on a TV show in 80 cities, I read the text of a New York Times article, a three-page article calling for the legalization of infanticide in the first month or so after birth for any reason. And they weren't reporting on some horrendous movement trying to legalize infanticide. It was actually an article advocating to make it legal to kill babies after they're born. It didn't say exactly what period of time, but because, you know, the mother might have other things to do at that point in her life. So that's where we're at, and there was virtually no outcry against the New York Times. So, all right. So today we have in Aurora, a grandmother murders her child. How about in California with this mother who murdered her own children?
Right. And it's absolutely devastating. She had told members of her family, you know, I'm going to drop these kids into the ocean. You know, they would later say she had various problems. But her sister got on television and said, she's such a good mom.
We always hear that after women kill their kids, it's common to hear friends and family come out and say what a good mom this was. What do they think they're accomplishing by doing that? Redefining what it means to be a good mother is someone who gets fed up and kills her kids.
It's absolutely incredible that anyone could be so foolish as to say she's such a good mother. That's like saying that Hitler was such a good leader.
Yeah, right. If you overlook the fact that he murdered innocent people. So then, you know, I propose at the time Susan Smith committed that horrendous murder of her children, I proposed that if we had a righteous government, they would, upon conviction, strap her into the same car and push her down the same embankment and videotape with cameras, microphones inside the car, outside the car, and put it on TV and show her being drowned at that same spot in that lake. And if that would have happened, the hundreds of babies and children killed by relatives in the years since, my guess, which we'll never be able to prove except in the future when we do fix the laws, my guess is that the vast majority of the kids murdered by their moms would be alive today.
And I would agree with you. And, of course, we don't take right and wrong from the Supreme Court. We take it from the Bible, the foundation of this world,
right.
And we learn how the criminal justice system is supposed to work, and we learn what absolute right and wrong means, and thou shalt not murder.
Mm.
And we can't compromise that,
right.
But we have. And because of that, we have a bloodbath in this country. And we as Christians, and our churches especially, need to preach continuously. Abortion is always wrong.
Abortion is always wrong. So that is the line. Brian, I've been using that line since I heard you use that, I think, at OSA in July when you spoke to a few hundred people. And that statement forces people to think, because the immediate response that people have in their minds is, wait, it's not wrong in the case of rape or incest, or it's not wrong. And so what happens is you force them to think abortion is always wrong. It's always wrong.
It's always wrong. And if it's not, call into the show now or any other time and talk to us about it. You tell us one circumstance
in which abortion
is justified.
Our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So, Leslie Hanks, we have Brian called it a Republican Supreme Court. Most of these justices are from the Republican Party, and yet it's a solidly pro-choice court, and the whole federal judiciary, which 60% of the judges in the federal judiciary approximately were nominated by Republican presidents, and it's solidly not only pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, pro-evolution, anti-Christian morality.
We're not doing very well. It's very, very tragic. And that's a good reason why your listeners would be very well advised to get your Focus on the Strategy DVD and learn how it is that our country has just given up on so many lines in the sand that we should not be crossing. It's a very instructional.
That DVD, we have ordered 1,000 on the first run of them, which is the most we've ever ordered of any of our materials. Usually we reproduce things in-house. And the response we've been getting to them, the first pre-release copies that have gone out, about 100 of them, have been just extraordinary. People are saying this analysis of our Christian political strategy is right on. We are imploding. The pro-life political strategy, you can do an autopsy on it because it's dead. It has failed.
Yeah, and what's great about this information is it's in context, it's factual, it's verifiable. Mm. It includes video clips of what some of the leaders have said. And
our Christian pro-life leaders.
Right. And it points out things that seem obvious, but they're not. Things like any law, as you've said many times, that ends with, and then you can kill the baby, is not a good law.
It's a bad law.
It's not okay to say, look, if you'll just tell your mom, then you can kill the baby.
Mm.
Abortion is always wrong.
Right. Exactly.
And so we never make an excuse to say, under these circumstances, go ahead and murder that baby.
Mm. Now, if Roe v. Wade was magically overturned, because there's no way by Republican pro-life political strategy, it's going to be overturned. But if it was suddenly overturned today, abortion would still be legal all over the country, thanks in large part to pro-life legislation, which has been passed in state after state, saying you can have an abortion if you do this. You can have an abortion if you do that. You can have an abortion if you do this and do this and do this. And so we are saying not only is it immoral and wrong, and that argument doesn't affect many pro-life leaders. They're not moved by pointing out that their law is immoral. But we also point out that it's politically naive. It's ignorant because it has entrenched abortion into the legislative foundation of America.
And
so it'd still be legal. Even if we overturn Roe v. Wade, it's going to be legal everywhere.
And again, we need to be looking to God and to his law, thou shalt not murder. The Supreme Court is not God. And
right.
We should never place them in authority over God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've done as a Christian society. We've talked about legal and illegal, and we need to talk about right and wrong, no matter what the fools at the Supreme Court do. Remember, they said it's okay for a white man to own a black man. And they were wrong.
They did that, right? And
they
it was the majority
that, and it was the
on the
law
Supreme Court.
Of the land.
Right.
And guess
by
what?
By Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah. And guess what? A lot of people got rich because of that. And when we parallel it to abortion, same thing's happening. It's the law of the land, and the suffering of the innocent is paid off by cash to those who want this to
mm-hmm.
take place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wrong.
Did you guys ever know that the decision was the exact same, 7-2 in both cases?
Oh, you're talking about Dred Scott
and Roe v. Wade
in the 1850s and Roe v. Wade. Oh, 7-2. That's interesting. I reread the Dred Scott decision in this last year, and it's horrifying. And they go through and they establish that the right to own a black man is in the Constitution. It's in the law, and we would have to basically be judicial activists to say that it's illegal to own a black man. And so by the very principles that our pro-life Christian leaders are promoting, we got our Dred Scott decision, which was so evil because it just accepted the precedent that was evil. And here we have Gary Bauer just last week fulfilling a prediction I made on this show about Samuel Alito. Who's Samuel Alito, Leslie?
He's the newest Supreme Court nominee.
Yeah, from President George W. Bush. And he has voted to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey, not because he believes in it, who does, but because it was his job and it was precedent. And he's just upholding the law. He's rubber stamping the process that says that you can kill late-term babies with partial birth abortion. And I predicted that our Christian pro-life leaders would defend him for voting to uphold partial birth abortion. And what did Gary Bauer do? He did just that. He defended it. He said, after all, this is the kind of judges we've been asking for, judges who will simply apply the law.
And one of the other things that kind of plays into this, we have laws in this country against murder. You know, you're not supposed to murder someone
right.
unless, of course, you have a medical degree and a medical license. Then there's this exception made that
yeah.
says you can murder innocent children in the most brutal and grotesque ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mengele, the Nazi doctor, would be thrilled with mm-hmm. what the American Medical Association is
supports.
Doing.
Yeah.
Supports,
mm-hmm.
endorses.
Does. Yeah, with partial birth abortion. And we pointed out on this show, Brian, you and I were talking about this, that the preamble to the U.S. Constitution, and not that the Constitution says what's right and wrong, it doesn't.
No.
Right and wrong didn't come into effect in 1789, last I checked.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Right? But the preamble says we secure these rights to ourselves and our posterity. And your posterity, that's your biological offspring. And so the child in the womb obviously is your posterity.
Well, and if we take that a little further, that gives specific rights to a father as well.
To a father. Even
so
though,
both
right.
mom mm-hmm. and dad
yeah.
have a say in this.
Yeah, and I like to always point out that what the Constitution says does not decide right or wrong, but even the Constitution should make it clear that you can't kill a child because rights apply to us and to our posterity. And you know what else the Constitution says? It says that you can't deprive someone without due process of life or limb. So you can't kill an unborn child who's not guilty of a capital crime. But then also it talks about a person born in the United States and for citizenship and all. And the pro-aborts jumped all over that, of course. And they said, look, it says born here. So if you're not born here, then you're not a person. And that wasn't the point at all. The founding fathers, you know, some of them were unbelievers, but they're not pro-abortion activists. They were talking about citizenship. And so somebody could have a baby in France and say, oh, well, the baby was conceived in America, so it's an American citizen. I mean, that would be unworkable. So they said, if you're born here, you're a citizen. You're a person of these United States. So any absurdity will be twisted by those who want to justify the killing of unborn children, like Mike Rosen of KOA Radio, for example.
And accepted. How many people do you know that really still believe abortion's okay because the unborn is not a person?
Well,
yeah, right.
And let's look at this other part of it. You know, Steve Curtis pointed out that when a politician says they're pro-life, that's meaningless. You have to ask them, are you against abortion? Because look at Ken Salazar. He came out and said, I personally believe abortion is wrong.
Yeah.
But then he said, I don't have the right to voice my opinion.
Yeah, look at John Kerry. I mean, sure. John Kerry's pro-life the same way so many of our Republican officials are pro-life. George W. Bush would put his favorite legal advisor on the U.S. Supreme Court, Alberto Gonzalez, if he could have got away with it. And he's a total pro-abort. He's like John Kerry.
What do you guys make of Jimmy Carter coming out recently saying he's against abortion? I about fell off my chair.
I'm skeptical, but I'm happy to hear him say it. But I'm always a little frustrated when people are in a position with that kind of power and those kinds of life experiences and they do nothing. And then years later, they've got something to say.
A day late and a dollar short.
But I'm happy to hear it at least.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. I'm happy to hear it, and I'm skeptical. I remember when he was running for president, I was a lot younger back then, you guys too. And all we heard was, he's a born-again Christian. He's a born-again Christian. So all the born-again Christians just lap that up, and they vote for him, and they elect him, and he's a hardcore left-wing anti-Judeo-Christian morality kind of leader. That's who he was. He's evil. And so if he's finding God late in his life and he realizes you can't kill an unborn child, that's wonderful. But I'm skeptical also. Sort of like
Fonda.
Fonda, Hanoi Jane, becoming a born-again Christian and running fundraisers for Planned Parenthood.
And accepting awards from them.
Yeah.
And it's trendy to say you're a Christian when it suits your goals. But the truth of the matter is, anyone can say they're a Christian. That doesn't mean anything. We should have enough discernment to look at actions and words. Because everyone who runs for office says they're a Christian, but look at the work they do.
Right. Even Howard Dean. Everybody. Because America is, you know, demographics mostly Christian. And that doesn't mean they love Christ. It means you were born here for most people, sadly. But so, yeah, everybody's a Christian. And especially like Harriet Myers, we were told, oh, she's, you know, her conversion did it all. And she sets up this lecture series for her heroes in the women's studies at Southern Methodist University. And she has Pat Schroeder speak. You know Pat Schroeder.
I do. I was pretty surprised to hear that.
Yeah, these are her heroes, Ann Richards and, you know, feminist leaders who are all pro-aborts. And so it's the same thing with Alito. Samuel Alito has ruled on 4 abortion cases and abortion issue cases. And it's pretty despicable. Now, you tell me, Leslie, you brought more information than I've had. But the 4 cases I've had, 3 of them he outright ruled on for Planned Parenthood, on the Planned Parenthood side of the abortion issue.
I actually have a friend who's been doing some research, as you did, on Priscilla Owens, and that's the thing that's been so enlightening about your focus on the strategy DVD is that here are these big organizations that have all the money and the bully pulpit, and they could do the research and find out that these people would be found guilty at Nuremberg, as you suggest.
Right.
They don't do the research. They just go out and run out and have a parade and say, yeah,
say his
he's
mother
our guy.
Said, his mother said he's pro-life, and Karl Rove promised. Karl Rove promised that he's a good guy.
So anyway, my friend AndrewLongman.com, you can look up his website. He has a report card, 1 of 8 decisions related to abortion he got right, and he gives them a grade of an F.
So 7 out of 8 times. Now, you'll leave that with us because we'd
like
to go over that.
You need to talk about Chen v. Ashcroft, where he ruled that a couple that wasn't married in China had to abort their 8-month in gestation baby, that 8 months along.
I'm confused about that. In China?
Yep.
How could that?
They were trying to apply for asylum, and he denied them because they weren't old enough to be married in China. So he went with China's laws.
Oh, my.
And decreed that 8-month-long baby should be killed.
And that's similar to him upholding New Jersey's partial birth abortion ban.
It is.
Right.
You know, one thing, as we said here in talk, that I'm aware of is, first of all, not very many Christian ministries will say the things that are being said here because they're afraid to. And secondly, this show has great impact. It's had impact for my life and so many others. It's important that we support this show.
Amen.
Me, all
Thank
of us,
you.
Because there are so many materials you can buy. There are so many ways to donate if you just want to allow – you know, send us a few dollars, but please help us because there aren't enough of this voice out there yet.
Well, Brian, thank you very much. Of course, people could go to KGov, KGOV.com. We have with us on the phone from Colorado Springs, Eric, you're on with Brian Rohrbaugh and Leslie Hanks.
How you doing? Hey, I'm calling in about the situation with the judges and abortion and the Christian policy and the way they're handling the whole abortion issue.
Right.
And my question would be is if the intent of the Christian leadership is to insert judges that basically will reject Roe as a federal issue and put it back to the states and hopefully get it out of the states and back into the people's hands where it's not a broken system that's defining the laws, but it's
all right, Eric.
Where we can attack the conscience of people. Would that be a wrong thing, yes or no?
Yeah, that would be horrendous because the states, no subdivision of government has the authority to rule on the issue of murder or raping women or killing Jews or molesting children. It's a fundamental confusion about government.
Yeah,
Does
I
any
agree.
State, Eric, let me ask you this. Would any state have the authority to say it should be legal to kill Jews?
Well, absolutely not. Nor is it
same thing with children.
Nor do I think the intention is to let states make that decision. Of course, they don't have that right. The point is because we're in a broken system where the system we have says people are free to do as they wish, including murder unborn children. Don't we want to eventually just get it out of the state's hands completely so that the gospel and ministers and people can attack the conscience of people to make this an issue against which judges can't rule in favor of this kind of
well,
thing.
Well, I don't know if you actually mean what you just said or if you spoke by accident, but you implied that we shouldn't have any law and just let the pastors work on people's hearts.
No, I didn't say that. I said that because we're in a system that is not a moral system, the only one that is get it out of the government's hands. Or are we just going to change?
Well, what do you,
Eric?
And by the way, we're almost off the air. Hang on, if you would. Brian Rohrbaugh would like to talk to you.
Sure.
But no, of course, this is only for the federal government, only because the issue of murder is not a county issue, and so our Christian leaders, they no longer know how to think in terms of right and wrong. They simply think in terms of politics. And tactics. That's it. And they are as confused about tactics and politics as they are about right and wrong. And so they should never justify a judge like Alito who upholds partial birth abortion.
And we're not part of their system. And that's what we have to point out. We're not to conform to the world. You know, we're not to be ashamed of the gospel. We're not to let the gospel yield to a – unjust system. Mm. We need to be the light. We need to speak the truth. We need to stand up and not be ashamed of the gospel and risk the consequence.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're about out of time. But, Eric, could you hold on?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. If you could hold on, that'd be great. Brian Werbaugh would like to talk to you. And Leslie Hanks, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you, Bob. What a pleasure.
And for anyone out there who's interested in helping out, please call us at Bob and Yart Live at 800-8-NYART, or you could go to our website, kgov.com. That's a wonderful way to help out. You could sign up to our monthly subscriptions for a video a month. In fact, you get the DVD, Focus on the Strategy, right off the bat. That would be exciting. And I want to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Maranatha is simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. So check them out, Maranatha, 303-431-5653.